Here.
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 To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I was here a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about the dark store issue, and I suppose most everybody in the room has heard about that by now. And I didn't realize it at the time, but our mayor has been involved in that dark store issue for quite a long time, and along with others, and so we appreciate that. Now, the dark store issue, if we don't get involved in that as citizens, it's going to cost us a lot more money in property taxes, as I said a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't realize how much until I asked for some information. And I got that information, partially at least, only a part of it. I'm speaking to item 15, Mr. Mayor. And I'd like to call your attention to I can find it on here. The dark store issue started some years ago, as I'm told, with Walmart here in Franklin, at least. And now others have caught on to that, like Walmart and Home Depot, and there's a couple of others that are big-time merchants. And I know I've got that here somewhere. I think I got the wrong key here. Sorry about that. Let me read to you some figures that I have, and I'm assuming that they're correct because I got them from a pretty good source. Menards, for instance, and Mr. Menard, as I said a couple of weeks ago, that man is worth, he owns approximately 80% of Walmart Corporation, give or take a couple of percents. They're asking for a reduction of $4,513,300 to be taken off of what they have to pay for property taxes. Walmart is asking for a reduction in their property taxes. I'm sorry, I'm not phrasing that right. They're asking for a reduction in what they pay for their property, $3,638,000. Sam's Club is $1,520,000. Now, you add all the others on there, and you subtract that from the total amount, that's a big chunk of property taxes that they are going to get out from under. And you know who's going to make up the difference? The rest of us that have homeowners, the property taxes. And so our politicians in Madison have to change that law. There's a loophole in the law that allows them to get out from under a lot of their property taxes, and we have to have our politicians in Madison change it. So, excuse me?
You did your 3 minutes.
All right. But anyway, we have to have the law changed. Close that loophole. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Bernie Carrion. I'm at 6928 South 90th Street. How you doing? Is this clear? I also brought my son along. He's going to say something. I'm not quite sure what. So, but I'm here to talk on behalf. I live, if you want to mind me for a second, to come to the map here. This is like the Ballpark Commons. I know this might not be on microphone, but I live about like over here. So I'm not directly on Ballpark Commons, but I'm here actually advocating for all the children that live near Ballpark Commons, because what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the hours of operation for this, even on school nights, is up to midnight and maybe 2 a.m. on weekends. And it's alarming for me for, you know, as an educator and from a public health standard to look at children's health. And I know I said my son goes to bed at 8, usually falls asleep around 9 if I'm lucky, to be honest. And it's a children's health issue, because I think when you put a baseball stadium that close to a residential area, I mean, this is suburban Milwaukee, it's not urban. And people come out here for, you know, quiet quality of life, and kids need to fall asleep. It's a health issue. Kids need to sleep, they need to do well in school, they need to rest. And I think you ask any pediatrician, that's the case. And I think we need to be aware that the sound from this is not, I mean, unless you want to hope that would end at the premises, which I think would be the goal. Because I want to be clear, too, that, you know, I'm not for this development not succeeding. Obviously, it's a big investment. So I understand the balance between business and community. I get it 100%. But I think we need to be really careful about who the most vulnerable people in our community are. And these are the kids whose bedtime will be affected, as much as you don't want to believe it, by something that operates past 9 o'clock. Okay? So if you look at cities like, I called the Madison Mallards, for example, very successful, small, minor league team, doing really well. I think they're up for a championship this year. I called them. They actually moved their times earlier to 6 o'clock to partly accommodate the residents in the neighborhood, but most importantly because it was good for their business, because they could attract families. Obviously, that could come earlier and have their kids there before bedtime. So I'm advocating, and hopefully there's an amendment for an earlier end to the game times there and the noise. I'd say 10 o'clock is reasonable. Madison did that with the Mallards. I think the Mallards organization actually owns the company that does the concerts in downtown urban Madison. Those have to end at 10 because they're in a residential area. Granted, it's downtown Madison, but there's kids that live in the area that have to go to sleep, have to go to school. So I'm kind of advocating for a balance between those two. Obviously, this is a big investment for Franklin. I want it to succeed. I want to walk to businesses. I want to take my kids to the games, but you know they're not going to be there until 10 o'clock at night. So I'm concerned about that, big time. And I think it needs to be addressed. I've had trouble figuring out how late these games will go, how late these operations will go. I've heard about fireworks now on Friday nights. I'm not sure where that came from. I'm not sure what's been approved. I had trouble navigating the website to try to find out those times. But I'm here advocating for that, and I think the business needs to succeed. It's good for Franklin, but it needs to accommodate the fact that there's kids that live in the neighborhood. Yeah, thanks. That's pretty good, huh? Yeah, sure. I'm not sure what he's going to say.
So I think that if kids want to come to these games, the game should start around 5:30 and end around 7, because I know it might take a little bit of time to get back to their houses. So these kids should get to their bedtime by the latest of 9, like be in their bed. So if they end up getting stayed up by these lights and all these noises, that would be a very bad problem and a health issue for these kids. So these kids, like, what if they have a test the next day and they need to get some good rest into their bodies, like. That would be a big problem if these kids end up being stayed up until like 10 o'clock by all these lights and noises.
Mayor, I think that deserves, I know we don't usually comment either, But I think it's important to know that the only thing I read about the hours after 2 is the bar, which is the umbrella bar, so I didn't read that it would be beyond that. And then the newest change that I read in tonight's is the snow grooming, where they wanted to be open during the snow season to groom the hill, and that would be, I think it was 11 o'clock. And then those are pretty much the hours on that. So Mr. Dietl will probably have no one. And we'll be taking this up on the agenda, so if you want to. But right now we don't usually give comment back and forth, but I just want to make sure you knew that there will be discussion on the agenda.
I just wanted to draw attention to Ascension and Franklin. Just a little over 3 weeks ago, I had a heart attack, which then led to triple bypass surgery, and I had no symptoms. I drove myself to Ascension Franklin, and having never been there before, I wasn't sure what to expect or what to deal with, and they were phenomenal. You know, it's nice when people say, oh, we have a nice hospital in Franklin and so on and so forth, but I can tell you that staff, that doctor that initially saw me and said, you've got 100% blockage, I'm taking you right now, they were unbelievable. And the staff, the follow-up has been excellent, and I can only thank God that I'm here tonight in 3 weeks and 4 days since my surgery. So just want to let you know that is one hell of a great hospital and staff.
And we're happy to hear.
Some are.
I will tell you that there's something about that particular seat that's all the firm all this
drove
exactly the same.
He drove his, and then he took him to a hospital and an ambulance, and they took him to a different.
Yeah, I drove myself. And
so, Mr. LaVert, can we get the 6th District seat replaced with some? We are at Citizens Commentary. Any other citizens wish to speak? Mr. Steve.
Orville Seymour, 3020 West Acre Avenue. I want to disagree with my friend Casper Green and point out that the mayor again is wrong on the dark store issue. Number one, the less money the government has, the better off we all are. Number two, we're going to pay it at the cash register if we don't pay it at the dark store. So we're going to pay it one way or the other. It's just a matter of how it's going to be paid. So the mayor's wrong on this, and I support John Menard. I support Walmart. I support Walgreens. I support all the other places. Again, the less money the government has, the better off we all are.
Thank you, Mr. Steve. Anyone else? Mr.
Dana Gitt, 9011 West Hawthorne Lane. At the Planning Commission meeting on April 18th, it was stated that fireworks and concerts had not been approved for the Ballpark Commons development. And yet, according to the radio announcements and promotions on the baseball team website, fireworks are being listed. The comprehensive light and sound study was an original condition of the county sale of this site, yet its deadlines and requirements have not been met. Fireworks should clearly be part of this evaluation. Why should Franklin citizens believe elected officials again if those officials don't require Ballpark Commons to follow the requirements that other projects must follow, including site density, landscaping, ODU, and the permitting process? If the city is amending the TID or creating an overlay, the city should then require other conditions, such as shortened hours of operations to protect the livability of the neighborhoods, a detailed accounting of all cost overruns, and all the change order details. At the previous plan commission, I asked that the City of Franklin received approvals in writing from the county and the Village of Greendale for extending hours of operations for the ski hill. Milwaukee County parks close at 10 p.m. Operations of any kind of the ski hill allowed past 10 p.m. adjacent to a residential neighborhood should not be acceptable. Even the city planner testified that other ski hills researched by the city for hours of operation and snow grooming are not located adjacent to residential neighborhoods. Why are Franklin elected officials not considering the public safety and health of constituents and their families with this project? I oppose the major amendments to the PDD and the TID for Ballpark Commons. This project has cost overruns that in the real world of development would likely bankrupt the developer or would force the project into workout status with the debt provider. But not in the city of Franklin, where this developer is continuously rescued and other non-typical accommodations are made for this project, including hours of operation, including extending hours of operation, building heights, site density, landscaping, and setbacks, just to name a couple. The city is attempting to rescue this project despite there being no evidence the developer can perform or meet any of the established benchmarks. The development agreement is in breach of contract. The maximum amount of city funding committed to on page 5 of the development agreement has been exceeded. The Uniform Building Ordinance was created to promote the health, safety, morals, prosperity, aesthetics, and general welfare of the city of Franklin and its environs. These ordinances were created to restrict and regulate land use and development. Why is this project now being held to a lower standard than the rest of the city? This project abuts a residential neighborhood and an environmental corridor. Both should require the highest level of city oversight. I also see another major amendment is requested for the Ballpark Commons project. It is overwhelming to see the number of major amendments allowed for this project. I want to express my concern that the most recent Ellers financial schedules proposed for Ballpark Commons were supplied without the appropriate 24-hour notice for April 16th Common Council meeting. Okay, thank you.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I'm going to like to talk about your appointments, number 10, for Michelle Runty to be on this ambassador program. I don't think that that program should be there to begin with, because if you look at some of the issues and the flyers that are out there, it appears that the police department will be indoctrinating these people. And in my mind, it's like another volunteer police organization. We have a volunteer police organization, and I don't like that. I also found out that Ms. Runty kept a check with the city of Franklin's name on it for 2 months in her own hand someplace. And when I talked to the lady that signed that check, she had no idea that Shelley was the one that had that check. She also told me that the checks in her office leave every 2 days and don't stay in it. So she blamed Michelle Runty for having that check. And we had a treasurer here who found out that they had $40,000 worth of check in their car, and they arrested her and put her in jail. Now, if we're going to have Ms. Runty taking care of our... Ms. Runty taking care of our finance, I don't like that. It just seemed that you did the wrong thing by putting her in that thing. Thank you.
Mayor, I'm not really sure if I'm comfortable reading the proclamation as it stands because, it's really important that we acknowledge it. So I thought rather than reading it word for word when the matters came up, I know Courtney talked about how we're going to do this, and I thought I would just insert some of the more updated information based on my close knowledge of the topic. So this is a proclamation, whereas Lyme disease is a bacterial disease transmitted by two humans by an infected tick, commonly known as the black-legged tick or deer tick. And there's been some studies that it's not just a particular tick, and that Lyme disease is more typically from a deer tick, but also the ticks are coming back with several other types of bacteria, and it doesn't have to be a deer tick to get a bacterial infection from a tick. So I've read a lot of comments of people say, well, it was a wood tick, so I'm okay. not necessarily true. Wood ticks also carry things like Bartonella, babesiosis, and those are other tick-borne diseases. Whereas according to the Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services, or Health Services, the disease was first recognized in the United States in 1975 in Lyme, Connecticut. So Lyme, Connecticut is actually a city, so you wouldn't say Milwaukee. So when you hear someone and you go to the doctor and they say Lyme's with an S disease, you might as well go to another doctor because they can't even pronounce what it is. They probably aren't educated enough to be treating you. Whereas according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention in 2017, there were 42,743 cases of Lyme disease in the United States. And the most recent updates from the CDC's website is they're using a figure of 300,000 people as the updated, which is half the size of the city of Milwaukee a year getting Lyme disease. And compare that to the measles outbreak where there has been 700 cases, and they're calling it a crisis. Although measles can be very dangerous, Lyme disease can take your life as well. Where signs and symptoms generally set in 3 to 30 days and commonly include a fever, headache, fatigue, and this is most important, may produce a rash or lesion. Just because you get bitten by a tick and you get a bacterial infection, babesiosis and Bartonella do not cause a rash, a Lyme rash, and even people that have Lyme disease don't always get the bullseye rash. If left untreated, the infection may spread to other parts of the body, producing symptoms that include additional lesions, facial bowel palsy, severe headaches, neck stiffness, pain and swelling in the large joints, fatigue, cognitive decline, shooting pains, and heart palpitations. And I'd like to add that one of the symptoms a lot of people see in children is anxiety, sound, and light sensitivity as well. Whereas the best ways to prevent Lyme disease